Three times Peter denied Jesus. Then Jesus looked at him. How did he look at him? Well, St. Ambrose's answer might surprise you. Hey, it's good to see you. Thanks for being here. Today we look at Meditation 135 from Divine Intimacy from Father Gabriel. Now here's the scene. He brings us to the Last Supper where Jesus tells Simon that he is going to deny him. Simon, Simon, listen. Satan has demanded to sift all of you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your own faith may not fail. And you, once you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. So three things. Number one, Satan wants to sift you like wheat. What does that mean to us? Satan wants to destroy us. He wants to destroy you and your family, particularly your faith. If we enter the spiritual life completely ignorant of the designs of Satan, we're gravely mistaken. So what I do every day is I pray spiritual protection prayers for our family. The second thing is that Jesus says he has prayed for them. He has prayed for Peter. What does this mean for us? Well, St. Cyprian from the 3rd century says this, "But it is for us and for our sins he both labored and watched and prayed." So every time in Scripture you read that Jesus went off and prayed, you were present to Jesus. Your every thought, your word, your deed, your every struggle and testing of your faith was present to Jesus. And according to St. Cyprian, Jesus labored for you. He suffered for you. He prayed for you. The third thing about this scripture is that Peter has a special place. Jesus says, after you have failed in your faith, go back and strengthen your brethren. This is an aside note, but this is an indication of Peter's primacy amongst the apostles. Now, how does Peter respond to Jesus for telling that he's going to fail in faith? He responds by saying, I will follow you. I'll even be willing to be imprisoned and go to death for you. He seems pretty confident in this moment. This is what Father Gabriel says. An overweening confidence in him had blinded Peter to the truth of Jesus' words, to the possibility of his own weakness. Although I should die together with thee, I will not deny thee. Peter was sincere in his protestation, but he sinned through presumption. The practical experience of human misery and frailty, by which no one, even the most courageous, can remain faithful to duty without divine aid, was lacking to him. Which of us have not experienced this presumption, where we feel absolutely confident in our commitment to Jesus? Maybe it's a moment of faith, a moment in prayer, or at a retreat. We commit ourselves to Jesus and we say, Lord, I will follow you. I commit my life to you. And then after your prayer time in the morning, maybe 5 minutes later, you lose your temper with your kids. Or maybe you don't, just me. This is the point. We're all like Peter. Without divine aid, we will surely deny Jesus through the things we do or through the things that we fail to do. Think about what happens right after Jesus' great burst of confidence. They leave the Last Supper. They go into the garden where Jesus throws himself down on the ground and he prays. And what does Peter do? He falls down and sleeps. He can't even last an hour, let alone his entire life committed to Jesus and even to prison or to death. No, he can't even stay up an hour and pray. This is a great reminder to us of what happens when we live a life outside of grace, not depending upon God's divine aid. We will surely fall asleep. Now you know the rest of the story. Jesus comes back and he wakes him up. The soldiers come into the garden. They arrest Jesus and all the apostles scatter, except for one. You know, it's interesting. We talk about Peter as the one who denied Jesus three times. But what did Peter do that none of the other apostles did? Firstly, Scripture tells us he followed at a distance. A sad statement. He followed, yes, but at a distance. Is that us sometimes? Following Jesus at a distance. What does that phrase mean to you? And then following at a distance, he finds himself in the courtyard. And three times he's accused of being close to Jesus. But he's just followed at a distance. And so being accused of being close to Jesus, he denies him three times. And then he hears the rooster crow. Scripture tells us in Luke that Jesus looked at him. And only when Jesus looks at Peter, he realizes his sin and weeps bitterly. How did Jesus look at Peter? Well, remember, Peter is in the courtyard. Where is Jesus? He's before the high priest and he's being accused. So they're not in the same place. In fact, if we look at scripture, it's clear that they don't even have eyesight between each other. Jesus is inside a building. Peter is in a courtyard. So how was it that Jesus looked at Peter? St. Ambrose says this: "It cannot therefore be said that it was with bodily eyes that our Lord turned and looked upon him by a visible and apparent admonish. That then, which is described in the words, 'The Lord turned and looked upon Peter,' was effected internally. It was wrought in the mind, wrought in the will. In mercy, the Lord silently and secretly approached, touched the heart, recalled the memory of the past, with his own internal grace visited Peter, stirred, and brought out into external tears the feelings of this inner man." St. Ambrose is clear. It was a special grace Peter received internally that moved him to repentance. Peter denied Jesus 1, 2, and 3 times, and he heard the rooster crow. But only when he received that special grace of repentance that he saw his soul in some way like Jesus saw his soul, that he turned from his sin and wept bitterly. And so today we can pray and ask for the grace in the way that Jesus looked upon Peter, that he would look upon us, so that he would illuminate our conscience to see the ways in which we have denied him, so that we too could repent. Friends, thanks for watching. Share with me below what stood out to you and why. I'll see you soon.